Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home. Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch. The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed. And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Definitely, like, knew early that I was like, well, that's about all the math I think I need to know.
Yeah.
I just stopped paying attention to it. I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to have to fucking calculate in this fashion, man. Yeah.
Why would you? Why would you? Dude, I had it in college where I was good at math in high school, and I took, what did I take? Was it true? I took finite in high school.
Yeah.
And so I got to college and I had a bad advisor who was like, oh, you need to take, you need to take calc. And so I went to take it. And then I did half a semester. I was working full time and it was my 8 a.m. Friday class. Sure. And I would work nights. And so I would get off work at 7 a.m, go to this class, be fried. I sucked at it and I couldn't pick it up. And then halfway through the semester, I'm like, dude, I got to drop this class or I'm going to have trouble. And they were like, wait, who told you you needed to take math? You don't need math. And I was furious. But it was also nice because I was like, I'll never learn any more math ever again.
I fucking went to, so I had the classic college experience of going to, like, signing up for the wrong math class, going to the class and having them, having the teacher be like, this will be a pretty easy basic applied math course. Now everybody take out your trigonometry glasses with multiple lenses and your crazy pencils that we all know what they do. And it was like, I don't know what any of this is. Obviously, they didn't have trigonometry glasses. That's not a thing. But it was akin to that. And then I got dumped down to a full-on, like, you know, like, the people in the class were like me, a 78-year-old Croatian woman, and a cigar store Indian.
Pre-algebra. Yep.
Yes, exactly. And I sat in the back and played Hellgate London on my fucking laptop and passed with a D. And I was like, that's enough. I can make change.
Hell
it's
yeah.
Fine.
Did you have to have one of those, like, the really expensive TI, like, Texas Instrument calculators?
Yeah. Yeah.
We had to have those, and that I just have such fond memories of, like, being able to, because it was pre having a cell phone that had games on it. So I was like, I would just play. There was, like, all these weird ways to download games on.
Yeah.
I used to play Snake all day, and I loved it.
Absolutely.
I had such a good time playing Snake on that thing.
I played way too much Snake to the point where it was like, where, like, you would close your eyes and you'd still see the snake. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. That's the
child. Those are trigonometry
version.
Glasses. That's what you need those for.
That's the child version of, like, when you're at a casino for too long and you go to bed and you just hear the dinging noises and you're like, oh, I'm an addict gambler.
All I see is Tetris pieces. Truly. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fight Island, the podcast about fictional fights in the very real island where they take place. My name is Jordan Dahl.
I'm Sam Wiles.
And joining us today, Tom Takar here.
That's right, Eddie. I'm here.
This is
a whole new persona.
Once I'm introduced, hey, I'm a tough guy. Hey, people who are 20 shouldn't get the vaccine.
You're from the 50s rock radio show he hosts. Yeah. Wolf,
you're like
Wolfman,
Joe Rogan
Tom
opened
Tico.
A portal through Tom Likas and it became this.
I heard somebody, I think it was Norm MacDonald, say that Tom Likas looks like a werewolf that got halfway through it and just said, ah, fuck it. And it's the funniest shit I've ever heard anyone say about involving Tom Likas. But regardless of all of that, I'd say platinum level banter, we're not fighting mathematicians. We're not fighting Tom Likas's. We're fighting hated bands, right?
Yes.
We're fighting hated bands because of Tom's podcast Stand By Your Band.
Me and Tommy McNamara.
We thought we'd achieve some label synergy and Authentic would send us $12 in a card or something.
They'll give us a gold nice medal. Yeah, nice little sticker or whatever that says 28 cents on it.
Sure. we're crossing the streams, so to speak.
Yes.
Yeah, powerful. It's the only way to beat the Marshmallow Man.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They told us not to, but we're doing it. Sam?
But Tom, your podcast is people defending bands that everybody shits on.
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. the main premise. Yeah, we've started to branch off into that people can defend underrated bands like Jawbreaker. Mm. Or like
okay,
Squeeze.
Okay.
And then, of course, that has led to the most frustrating text conversations of all time with guests where they're like, well, what about if I did Elton John? And it's like, oof. Elton John is not hated or underappreciated.
No, no.
Like, he's rated perfectly, which is
exactly.
good.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you meet someone who is rating Elton John low, call it in.
Yeah,
you know,
call it in.
You see something, say something.
411, call it in. And
that's what the cops are for. That's what you call the cops on.
Exactly. All cops are bastards except for the ones who are at your service to wrangle up people who, it's not even that they hate Elton John, they just slightly underappreciate him.
Yeah.
Now, I guess he's all right. Call the police.
This is the weirdest part of the defund the police platform. I don't know if I understand this wrinkle. Guys, it's very important. I don't, maybe shut up and listen. It's what we have to do.
Now that I mean, there are parts of Elton John that you could say suck. Like he
and
couldn't
look. If
right,
it's gonna get homophobic in here, I gotta
nope.
go.
You're only nope. No, nope, we're gonna celebrate it. I'm gonna act out the whole thing. It's very graphic and positive.
Now, Jordan hates that he's British. That's his big problem with him.
No, well, he didn't write his own. He didn't write his own lyrics. And when he did, he wrote one album called like One Man or something. And it fucking sucked on ice. Everybody was like, boo. No, what
all the
is
lyrics
this?
Were like,
poison.
All the lyrics were like, and one shirt sayings. Like,
I had one that was, said, if you, I hope you brought lotion because you're about to get burned. And this kid dang. Came up and he goes, I hope you brought lotion because I'm trying to masturbate. And I never wear any and one shirts ever again. So I was like, I can't have
no.
that.
No. Yeah, you
oh,
can't
no.
be inviting random burns out of the fucking woodwork yeah. like that.
Or just like perv kids who are funnier than you. That can't
yeah,
be good.
Weird. I was like, hey, no. I like this. Yeah, it's like now I have to like cross out the thing that the shirt actually says and write what you wrote because it's way funnier. Yeah,
it's way funnier.
Well,
I was funny shirt guy. Now you're just funny talking guy. That's a superior thing.
It is very funny that somebody comes along and like punches up the joke on your shirt. And you're like, well, I can't wear this anymore.
I wanted to make a line. I still might do this. I want to make a line of and one shirts, but it's for mm-hmm. guys who are good at basketball, but also can't get an erection. And they're like, the shirts say like, your game is softer than my dick.
Friend of the pod, Dave Ross, has been doing emo football. Have you seen that? Mm-mm. It's so funny.
Extremely funny.
It's very good. It's just like he found this generator that's like, make your own football mascot. And you can like pick the animal and what the words say. And it's all like a tough looking seal with like a cigar. And it says, do you know a good therapist?
Or sorry, yeah. Like a screaming football that's just like, I miss my wife.
Yeah.
It's good. It's very funny. It's good. We're plugging Dave Ross's stickers.
I love it.
Hey,
love
they're
Ross.
Good. Look, they're good. I'll plug any good sticker that I see around town. I saw this banana sticker on a banana. So the way this goes down for any Tom heads just joining the pod, it's just kind of a big game of we're playing who would win in a fight between. We do a lightweight, a middleweight, and a heavyweight round. We decide who's in the rounds. We decide who wins. It's video game rules, so old people can fight gay people, men can fight women, dogs can fight babies, whatever needs to happen. The island craves justice. There must be a winner, and it often will equalize power levels. So say if we're doing like an old lady versus a pack of dogs for some reason, the old lady might get a rifle or some kind of dog sword. You know? So that said, lightweight bands that are hated. And I don't think it has to personally be ones that we hate. We don't need to, bring our own shit into this, guys. But like, when you feel it, and honestly, I don't even know what it means to be a lightweight band that people hate. Is it like, less hated, or do you open for the band that people really hate? And they open for the band that people fucking spot.
Because I think this almost works with in terms of just like hackery. Like what? Like who is the hack band to say you hate? That's the heavyweight. That's the common ones everyone says they hate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Your Nickelbacks. Your Creed.
So then your lightweights are like kind of like here's what I think a lightweight is.
That is a nuanced person to hate. I get it.
but everyone kind of hates there's a weird generational divide where. People our age hate the Eagles because Big Lebowski made it cool to hate the Eagles.
That is
like,
so true.
I kind of like the Eagles, and like older people love the Eagles.
I love the Eagles.
But that is true. There are a lot of people who hate them for sure.
Any band that's going to lean into Kalitas and just be like, it's a thing, man. You can smell it in the desert. Like, all right.
But I think a lot of people our age saw Big Lebowski and were like, I hate the Eagles. So and then true. they heard Hotel California too much. And that's not the Eagles' fault. But that's like a lightweight hated band to me. Because they're kind of hated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. I think where would you put Coldplay on that list? Because that is like a hacky one, but also they're not like quite as categorized as shitty as like Nickelback and Creed.
Yeah.
And
they're almost a middleweight to me, because I feel like that's a go-to like Coldplay.
Sometimes
they're clearly not as bad as those other bands.
They're also like Daywalkers, you know. They're like everyone kind of agrees that Coldplay has some bangers.
Yes. Yeah.
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 But it's a definite eye roll. You're like, fucking Coldplay's here.
Mm-hmm. I think a lightweight one that kind of faded is like Neil Diamond. Like people hated Neil Diamond.
Yes. Okay. Sure.
Like that's what like interesting. Harder Rock came along and was like, fuck Neil
Barry
Diamond.
Barry Manilow. It was very hip.
That kind of shit. Manilow, yeah. But that's, you know? It's so long ago now that like.
So long ago now.
About generation of them have come around.
Imagine Pete Davidson coming on stage and be like, fuck Neil Diamond. It's very funny.
That would be kind of funny though. I mean, is it just Sweet Caroline that people were really pissed off about? Because that, sure. I feel like that's the main one. That generation would be like, oh, that's annoying because of the bah, 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 you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Neil Diamond did manage to kind of annoy people specifically in two generations.
Karaoke really took Neil Diamond for a fucking walk around the block.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Don't Stop Believin' has the same effect with people Journey.
Okay. Journey is, and it's unfair because Journey's, I used to love Journey. And then
I think Journey's
Don't
great.
Stop Believin' really screwed it up because it was on Glee. Every single karaoke night it's getting played. Every bar that you would go to that's like got music playing is at some point going to play that song unless it's like a
And it is a fucking it is an unequivocally, like, mathematically, if I had the TI-85 with me, I'd prove it. It's a triumphant fucking ballad, you know. People hear that and it stirs certain ancient strings within your brain. You can't help it.
I mean, watching The Sopranos, and this is no spoiler, but it's like they play that song at the end of The Sopranos, and
it's
I remember
incredible.
Knowing that was going to happen and still being like, this is fucking awesome. Like,
it's
I love it. Great
use of it. Like, great. Yes. A show about America uses a song that is so perfectly about America.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something.
And that it's like aspirational and shallow and dimensionless and like so here's what I'm thinking for a lightweight is we fight Journey versus Neil Diamond because it's the two
I like it.
At their time pretty liked and then one single kind of fuck up their reputation.
Hang on, I think there's others that people we're forgetting, you know. ABBA. People hate ABBA.
And that's crazy because
I think people love ABBA now. I think ABBA's coming back around.
ABBA had a comeback because of Mamma Mia. And also they're just I didn't know a lot about ABBA, and we did an episode on ABBA with I want to say Joe Fernandez, maybe. I can't totally remember.
Fernandez.
But it was incredible. I like fell in love with them. ABBA is so good.
Fucking rocks.
And I was knew of like Dancing Queen, and I was like, oh wait, all this other. Yeah. And I knew way more songs, it turned out, but I was like, I just thought of Dancing Queen when I thought of ABBA, and I was like, oh, this sucks. And then
Loggins and Messina, I think, could be. Or even just Kenny Loggins, I think, could be a lightweight.
Kenny Loggins is a little hated, but I don't think he has like a big capital H hate on him.
Okay. What about, this is my last one I'm going to throw out for lightweight. They might be middleweight. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I think that's a great
middleweight.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That might be a great middleweight.
Okay,
that
we're putting a thumb in it.
I'm trying to think of ones we've done on our show that might be helpful to you here, but
John Mayer.
Yeah, John Mayer's good.
It's a good lightweight.
John Mayer's a great
because he doesn't have a big enough footprint to maybe be all the way hated, but people hate him.
People hate him, and
people really love him too.
Yes.
So
much like
Dave Matthews Band or like
Dave Matthews
DMB I was saving, but Dave Matthews Band's fun and I like them. So
Dave Matthews Band,
that's more of a middleweight.
I have a personal vendetta against the Dave Matthews Band, which we'll get to whenever they're officially entered as a combatant here, which may disqualify them from legal entry into this fight. We'll see. all right. I kind of like, I don't know why, but I like John Mayer versus Neil Diamond.
I'm into that.
I like that. I think that's fun.
And we're talking peak years. This is them, you know, peak Diamond versus peak Mayer.
Is it peak their regular powers, not peak annoying, right?
Yeah. Right. Wait, which one are we going with though? Because that's the tricky part about doing this. If it's hated, I feel like it's almost got to be peak annoying.
I think it's got to be peak annoying.
Okay. All right. So the question before us is, who would win in a fight between John Mayer and Neil Diamond? Mm-hmm. And let's say they're the same age. I do think it is kind of in their what would it be? Okay, so what would peak Neil Diamond look like? He's wearing a silk shirt. He's
got big hat or big like a big hair situation.
We know that he is, in fact, legally forever in blue jeans. So
he's forever.
We already know from the bottom, from the waist down, we know what we're looking at. From the waist to the ankle, at least.
It's like a serious condition he has.
Yep. Yeah, he's like a never nude, but with jeans. He never.
This is my skin, Jack.
He put on this special kind of fancy boy, rich guy 70s jeans. They didn't know it was just stuck to your skin permanently forever.
Well, for sure that was a thing for a second. There was like jeans that they would sew you into and you had to like wriggle out of them.
Like the Kramer's jeans in Seinfeld where he falls Kramer's over like a board.
There's also like famously these jeans that you're supposed to get wet. You're supposed to put them on and then like get into a tub with them and then like fucking squelch around the block.
That's like churning your own butter. It's like, we don't have to do that.
Yeah. Just buy some Levi's and let it ride. Bro. Yeah. You don't have to do
get butter from the store. Fuck off.
Find a tall kid at the park. Give him $5. Tell him to walk around in them.
Yeah. You don't have to do anymore. You can use Fiverr or whatever.
Yeah.
Have somebody else do that for you.
Just task rabbiting your jeans wearing to big kids.
Wanted jeans mule. What would you call that?
And it wouldn't even work because then they just fit them.
And then they just run away with them. These kids have no work ethic. All right. Where were we?
Sir, we saw you approaching a child in the park. Yeah, but he was kind of my size. It was about putting pants on. I'm not being weird.
I'm not trying to take clothes off of him. I'm trying to put pants on him. I'm
a reverse pedophile, if anything.
I'm trying to put more clothes on these kids.
Granted, they're my jeans.
Do you want to wear my pants, officer? I don't know.
We're about the same size.
Okay. Fucking hell. Okay, so I think Neil Diamond at his most annoying one was when he was like still packing stadiums, a little past his prime, kind of like fucking like you shouldn't still be drinking strawberry wine, 1992 Neil Diamond.
Yeah,
That's a young man's game.
Yeah, exactly. And like fucking, I think John Mayer's most annoying was when he was like in the thick of being sold as like this fucking edible spreadable hunk for everyone. Yeah. Just the
Body's a Wonderland.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Yeah. Body's a Wonderland is probably his most annoying. And then it's also followed by Waiting on the World to Change.
I was just about to say that's by far the most annoying one to me because it's like I remember when that came on the radio, I was like on the fence about John Mayer at that point.
Yeah.
Right before that came out. because I think that might have been on Continuum. And I remember being so disgusted by waiting on the world to change, because I was like, what the fuck does this even mean? Like, you're saying
it is literally the worst political message you could have in a song. It is the reverse of any activism at all, which is just like,
don't
vote. Hey, maybe sit down. And hey, don't participate. Sit down and watch TNT. And you're like, why is that a song?
Let your mom clean up your mess.
Your country is a wasteland. It's like, it's so meaningless.
You should go to Barbados.
I honestly see, if like John Mayer is coming to the island, I see that being like I see that kind of half eyes closed noodling on a guitar, just a string of nonsensical as like almost like a fucking like hypnotic pattern that he can string and kind of try to weave in. Diamond, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you select the John Mayer character in the Fight Island John Mayer Hated Bands Edition arcade game, like that's going to be his fireball, is like a weird.
I also think I have a feeling about this. I got two thoughts here, one for each of these combatants. One of them, I bet you John Mayer smells bad, like as a weapon.
Yeah.
I think that he's one of those guys. He's so hot and like confident in himself. He's just like, fuck it, I'm just going to never shower and I'll just smell like shit.
Yeah. He's a patchouli guy. That's what I bet. He smells like patchouli oil.
Yeah.
Just be like, yeah, it's like a shower. And you're like, that's not a shower.
That is a definite vibe he's throwing off for sure. Wow. Mayor, listen, I know you're a big listener. Ditch the patchouli.
Get rid of it. And then on the other side of that, I just feel like because of old schoolness, maybe this is me bringing something into here that's not, but I feel like Neil Diamond is secretly a hard ass. Like, I feel like he's probably he probably thinks John Mayer is a pussy, and he's like,
now this is some this is some shit that
did he like fight in Korea or something? You know what I mean?
Like if Neil Diamond was to get in a fight and rip off his blouse and it was just all tattoos, I wouldn't bat an eye. I'd be like, yeah, all right. But I mean, it's still like, it's like in old English on his stomach, like romance.
Yeah. Well, it's like to come up in that era is like a guy and sing songs like that. You probably got fucked with all the time. So you had, if you're to sing the way he did, you probably had to really go through some fights.
And we've talked about this on the island before. Just simply being an old guy gives you like plus two strength, I think. Or some toughness, you know, shit like
that. Well, guys, you may have hit the nail on the head. Neil Diamond, born to Polish immigrant parents in Brooklyn in the 40s. Ooh, I mean, that is like, that's some hard guy stuff. That's when they had white gangs.
Yeah. Yeah, there's
a lot of
49.
People
want
to talk about this. The tougher gangs.
A ton of gangs listen to our podcast, and if you could maybe not. It's called Fight Island. What do you think gangs listen to? The fighting podcast.
Come on, Tom.
Oh, you're afraid of the Crips? You should have seen the Sharks. They were really something.
We got 14 gangs called the Jayhawks. What do you want?
Oh, is that a gun? I got a comb.
Man, honestly, if that was gang life, I'd be into it. Mm-hmm. Can I be the guy with a chain just swinging it back there? What's he doing? You don't want to.
Oh, he's mostly
out.
Snapping with his other hand. That's kind of his thing.
He's good with it, though.
You got to beat the best singer in the other group.
Yeah. Oh man, it's a croon off. They're gonna croon.
Oh God, those snaps are so crisp and on tempo. Have they been practicing?
Oh, they have no idea we got this secret weapon, the guy who can whistle really well.
That does feel, honestly, that does feel like Neil Young's thing. Like, I was Neil in Diamond. The Scorpions. Neil Diamond. Neil Young's gang is
he's his own gang. It's him and, like, the wind. That's Neil Young's gang.
When I imagined it, it was the Little Rascals, but they all had Neil Young's face.
I also think that, you know, he got
it's a
that
nightmare
name.
I had.
He got the name Neil Diamond for how hard he can get. Diamond hard.
Do you think that maybe halfway through this fight, they're like grappled up and then Mayer does something that accidentally gets Neil Diamond rock hard? Swing! and his diamond his diamond phallus cuts through the pants and cuts fucking Mayer's guitar in half
like a fucking hornet stinger. Just yeah. Like,
I think that is.
Oh no, you woke him up. I'm scared too. Yeah. Run, John.
We're both in trouble now.
Okay, that's a lot. That's a lot. It's really gonna be hard not to go Neil Diamond in this fight. I think the John Mayer argument is he's really fucking good at guitar.
Yeah.
He's legitimately great at it. Like, he's more talented than Neil
John
Diamond.
John Mayer's strengths, he's incredible at the guitar. Mm-hmm. He did eventually break free from his Fabergé cage. I don't know if that's a saying.
I like it.
Fabergé weird... cage is a new, that's a new, that... we can, Danny, can you mark where that is and we'll use it as a shirt or a drop?
Fabergé cage.
Fabergé cage.
Fabergé cage.
Fabergé cage.
For keeping the, you know, when the eggs hatch, the birds have to go somewhere. He had that famous meltdown where he was like, I'm not doing it anymore. It's all an illusion, man. Although maybe that was a stunt too.
I think it could have been. I think he's very calculated.
Yeah.
If you were John Mayer and you were like, you like woke up and you were like, oh fuck, I'm a douche.
Yeah.
He did what I guess I would do is just be like, I'm going to go under the radar and like play blues and like just try to be fun.
It seems
like that is what you'd do, right?
But yeah. I think Tom's right. He does seem like maybe he's a secret genius.
Just
like
watching him in interviews. I watched this interview with him maybe like a year ago. And it was when his new, that song came out that was very trendy. And like, it was fun. It was a good song. But it just felt like everything he said, he like thinks he's a genius. And it's like, he is in some regards. But I also just think he's a douche. I can't.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
But here's the thing. It works on me sometimes. Yeah. I've seen him in interviews where I've been like, you're hilarious, John Mayer. Mm-hmm. This is a great sketch, John Mayer. You're doing it, John Mayer.
What was that song
his wanting to do comedy, though, makes me hate him more, which might make him more powerful.
Dude, but I think...
That's true. You guys have heard the Kumail story, right?
No.
Yeah. About John Mayer? That made That's when I hated him. Yeah.
What happened?
So he apparently popped up on a show that Kumail was on, and he bumped the show back a little bit, and he went up and he just bombed. He was bombing. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, you guys don't want to hear me do jokes. You just want to hear me play music. And so he pulls out his guitar, and then Kumail follows him, and he's like, why did he do that? It's like, couldn't it be neither? Like, that kind of instinct, which is a pretty good burn. And then John Mayer like comes on stage and he's like, well, you look brown, but you don't talk like you are, or something.
Whoa.
Like that.
It's like, oh my god,
weird. Yeah, that's the story I understand. He had no sense of humor about himself or whatever.
See,
and so that was when I was like, oh, he's not that funny. He's kind of just an asshole.
Which kind of makes it more powerful this fight, I think. He's a master of illusion. Mm-hmm. I could see it. I could see, you know, if I could fall for it, of course Neil Diamond's going to fall for it. Oh, yeah. He's a good young man. I leave you all my diamonds. Take them
into America. Yeah, I get it.
I could see him falling for it. And for that reason, I'm giving this one to John Mayer. That's my vote. I think Mayer breaks it out. I think I could even see him swing, you know, the diamond penis cuts the guitar in half and he's like on the ground, like, no, blah, blah, blah. And he thinks he's down and he's like, come rise, we'll join forces. And he's like, I'll do it. And then fucking gets him with like the broken neck of a guitar. He's deceitful.
Yeah.
He's deceitful. Yeah. He's a double crosser. I'm locking in my vote.
I'll vote in opposition. Won't let Tom be the tiebreaker.
Yes,
I think in hand to hand combat, John Mayer more annoying. He's trickier. Neil's got one more. He's got one more hate fastball, and it's called Sweet Caroline.
Yes,
and it's like, but Your Body's a Wonderland sucks. No one's playing Your Body's a Wonderland at a baseball game, ruining your afternoon.
You're so right.
And Neil pulls him up by his shirt collar, and he goes, ba ba ba, and you just—it's a level of hate and annoyance, and it's like a sonic boom, and it shreds John Mayer. Yeah. It cuts him at the torso.
After John Mayer has jammed this broken neck of a guitar into his ribs, he's like, "You little son of a bitch!" Grabs him and pulls him up. I ate nothing but acid for 14 years.
I made a deal with the devil to get royalties on the most annoying song of all time for the rest of my life.
True, true. And then he couldn't pay up, so I'm the devil now, bitch. Okay, yeah, that's
so,
a good point.
One-to-one. Tom, you're the tiebreaker.
I got to tell you, you swung the momentum towards Diamond for me, and I think that you're right. He has the baseball thing going. I think as soon as he just goes, Sweet Carolina, barrage of baseballs, barrage of dingers from all of MLB's greats. Fly in and just ding Mayer one after another, and he can't
every
take it.
Dinger that song, that chant is inspired.
And it's almost like a hate virus, because it's like, think about how much you hate Sweet Caroline. It's because you hate everyone in a bar who loves it. And you go, oh, this hate is like traveling.
Yeah.
Oh, like the hate is the hate. Yeah.
He can hone it. Yeah. After years in concerts, he's absorbed it. Like a Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah. It's a beam of energy. He can project pure hate.
Just shoots it into John Mayer's mouth.
And then he's finally free of it. And it's final eternal peace. And you know what? I'm going to say it. I think he dies too. He also dies, but peace.
But like happily, like with a smile on his face. Yeah. He's like, I'm fucking 80. I'm done.
And you see like soft focus credits to Little House on the Prairie style. Him walking away with Shiloh, the dog that he lost, you know, when he was young. And they're going, and they
that's his
run.
Rosebud. Yeah.
All of
a
sudden, Sweet Caroline appears. She's real.
Oh, God. She's real.
She walks him into death's cold embrace.
All right. Ding, ding, ding. Diamond takes it. The lightweight round. Boy, what a heater. It's only the lightweight. All right. Middleweight round. What are your middleweight bands?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Middleweight
hated bands of all time. Now, this might be a heavyweight. I stand this band all the time. Sublime. I love Sublime.
I also love Sublime.
I'll go to bat for Sublime.
Because it's like
all day long.
Are you talking about Sublime with Rome or no? Okay.
I'm talking about Sublime, Tom.
This is like a thing that has come up with the podcast a lot where I never really listened to Sublime except like on the podcast and then the like the hits but I was not like a big Sublime guy, but multiple people have pitched to defend them and people have shit on them quite a bit, so it's definitely
I think Sublime experienced a little bit of what Sam was saying earlier in the kind of the phenomenon of the, you know, it's I hate the fucking Eagles. It became popular to hate Sublime because of the type of people. It's more of a Rick and Morty syndrome, really, where it's like Sublime, I think, is a good band. But the type of people who really glommed onto them are really shitty, like loud, obnoxious people. And so that the band became amalgamated with kind of frat culture and those kind of.
Dickheads. My girlfriend's from San Diego and she does not. She like has a soft spot for Sublime, but they were played on San Diego radio so much that it gives her like, ugh, like she's just like, ugh, I can't hear it again.
I'll have to ask my fiance because she grew up at least like a decent part of her childhood in San Diego too, and I wonder what her thoughts on Sublime are. I've not
people
asked.
Hate Sublime. It's crazy. They really really hate them. And I think a Sublime versus a Chili Pepper would be a good
battle of Southern California.
Battle of the SoCals. You know, Lou Dog's there in the van. The Chili Peppers, they're probably pretty spicy to the touch. Flea, I mean, come on, look at that. What do you think he's a Olympics?
I like this SoCal matchup, but I'll throw out one more middleweight to me.
Please.
Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett. That's okay.
That's another the fan base is worse than the guy.
But he also like is famous for stuff besides music now, which has made him more controversial. He's like rich as hell.
If you also like hate consumerism or whatever, it's like he's the hateable guy. He's just like Yeah, look, I'm pushing product. And then the dumbest people alive are like, Margaritaville. Like,
so why were they crying when they cried it out? That was a soundbite from the bleak future where Margaritaville has taken over the world.
It's the only word they're allowed to say.
Margaritaville.
He trademarked all the rest of language, so you can only say Margaritaville.
He's definitely a capitalist warlord, but he also is, which maybe makes him great. But my only qualm is that I think he's heavy. I think Jimmy Buffett's heavyweight.
Interesting.
Okay. Because I think the heavies are going to have this weird thing where so much bad music was from 1999 to 2009. And that's what the heavyweights are for, is like cultural, like bands with no artistic merit at all. Yeah. It's going to be
period for all of us.
Where? Okay. What a bad time. What a terrible cultural time. We sucked. We sucked ass.
It was like POD and like fucking.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah, even
Biscuit.
I mean, Creed, for God's sake. Creed cracked the universe.
Truly a dark path we wandered.
Yeah. We'll end up in hell soon enough. Yeah. For the middleweights.
Well, let's not. Yeah, we don't have to get
Let's get some
ourselves.
Bands people hate with a couple bangers.
You know what's one that I think is weirdly mentioned a lot when people talk about our podcast is Bare Naked Ladies is one that people really hate, but I think are actually good. But they They do fit really in that time period of like Pinch Me and
Truly.
One week it's got overplayed to death and people
absolutely
hate them for it, you know.
But I'll tell you, if the Bare Naked Ladies are coming on the radio, I'm doing nothing but turning that knob up.
Let's go. Hell yeah.
Let's go. It's time. I know most of the words to this one. I think that's why people hated it, because it kind of has that like that poppy clean like white boy rap where it's like we're rocking the suburbs, we're co-opting this and doing it in kind of a
I'm wearing Keds
suspenders.
And I'm here to say
that's exactly it.
What's funny is they were making all that goofy ass music and then Stephen Page was just so fucked up on drugs to the point
fucked up. Yeah, they were all when you listen to their songs, there are a few of them where it's like, oh, okay, you guys are kind of party animals in a Canadian way.
His story with the FBI is crazy. The FBI was staking out another person in a different hotel room.
In a different rap
and their lens
rap
just shifted.
And they
caught him doing coke in a hotel room, like through a telephoto lens, because they were staking out another person, and that's how he got arrested.
That seems unfair.
Yeah,
that doesn't
right?
seem right. Ooh,
holy shit.
That is
wild. They're using that fucking spread shot on that telescope.
Oh, real quick, the Canadian outbranch of this is like people hate Bryan Adams.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
People really don't like Bryan Adams. And I get that. I understand. Yeah, I would rather never live. I could never hear another Bryan Adams.
I love
Adams
the
song,
idea
for sure.
that they were staking out a guy in like a different, also goofy, like white guy rap band.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is a guy from the fully clothed fellas.
Yeah.
The French Canadian version of Bare Naked Ladies.
I just thought of another California one they could work too.
Please.
Which is Third Eye Blind.
Feels good. I like Third Eye Blind versus Chili Peppers to me because they're
like
more.
That too. That's good. Let's lock it in. Okay. That's really good. No Sublime then?
I honestly don't know if Sublime's as hated. That's why they're not a middle to me.
Sublime's as hated as Third Eye Blind because you hear Third Eye Blind way more on the radio and throughout the country.
Sure,
but
that soothes my Sublime love
and
heart.
And Third Eye and Sublime has this. I mean, has like a tragic thing where it's like the essence of that band died, and it's like you're more sympathetic. Where it's like, I don't know. Yeah. Third Eye Blind guy's still alive, and that sucks.
Yeah, that's so true. That's a great point. That's a great point. Because one of them is already dead.
Do you even care? Do you even care about rock?
Right.
Yeah, man. You care about rock enough to die? You have a song about crystal meth, but you're not doing it? Grow up.
Right. And that guy sucks, too.
Rob Thomas? Is that him?
Steven Jenkins, I believe.
Rob Thomas is from...
He's Matchbox 20.
Matchbox 20, which I'll never hear a bad word said against them.
I love... That was our first episode of the podcast, was Matchbox 20.
Shit.
Yep, I love it.
Matchbox 20 rules.
Yeah.
Okay, so the question before us is, who would win in a fight between Third Eye Blind and the Red Hot Chili Peppers? Now, admittedly, I don't know a lot about Third Eye Blind. They sound, I know that, what were their hits? Jumper?
They had Jumper. They had Never Let You Go. They have How's It Gonna Be. It's a big hit. What's the one that's the one that we were just
Two Princes?
No,
that's Spin Doctors.
Yeah, that's Spin Doctors. I can't.
If you want to call me baby,
that's the
two gravy.
Oh, Semi Charm Kind of Life.
Yes,
Semi Charm Life is the one.
That's what I'm looking
Thanks.
For.
Thanks. Yeah. Thank you, Sam. Good God, I was drowning there. Where'd you go? I was drowning. I needed you.
You're drowning so hard you went to Spin Doctors. That's, you know, there's some desperation in that.
It was a whirlpool.
Deep Inside of You was big.
Okay.
Narcolepsy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a bad song. Deep Inside Ugh. Of You.
Oh, yeah. Deep Inside of Bip. Okay. So here's, there is no, unfortunately, Third Eye Blind facts for kids, which is insane.
There should be too. That's crazy.
This is the first one that I've come across. This is the first category I've come across that doesn't have a facts for kids page. I do have. There's like no facts about Third Eye Blind. Just
that's
nobody.
Crazy.
Maybe that's their power. Maybe they are inscrutable.
Oh, they are certainly not inscrutable. We watched the Cribs for the guy, Stephen Jenkins, who's the front man.
Okay.
And it is one of the cringiest things I've ever seen. And I wish I could remember all the details. But
Let's do Stephen Jenkins facts, huh?
Yeah, I bet
I mean, was he like a COVID denier?
Oh, I don't know about that. Probably not, because he's like a San Francisco, like.
Okay.
Like, I think he's pretty liberal dude, but he's just cringy for other reasons. It's been a while since I've checked in on him, so he's changed it up.
No, I don't think he's a COVID denier, but it's like I'm reading this weird interview from like right when COVID started, and he's not quite correct. But it's in a way you're like, oh, that's not great.
Here we go. Jenkins is an avid surfer. According to him, in this this article from 2017 to PE.com. We are literally crushing it right now. I didn't know that.
Oh man.
That's huge. The magic of the band's debut. This is a quote from him. There's a real rage to live. What are you saying? And fierce rebellion inherent in those songs. Jenkins says.
Imagine thinking Third Eye Blind was rebellious. That is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
At the time, I was rebelling and wanted to live on my own terms and not fit into certain standards. Guys, I don't know. He sounds pretty cool.
Yep.
All right. Cool guy.
The songs resonate with them in the lives they're leading now, he says. About the fans.
So Third Eye Blind has, I mean, a strength that's making you cringe really hard.
Yeah, he sucks.
I think that's...
Even in against your will, because it's like, I gotta be honest, even when we're making fun of the music, I loved their first two albums
it's
so
very
much.
It's true.
I was into it.
It's another one of those situations where, like, you know, if Third Eye Blind comes on, that dial's going one way, y'all. Straight up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Semi-Charm Kind of Life, great song. And Jumper's a great song. I mean, those are.
How's it going to be?
Like peak
2000s
driving around.
Right now, I would throw How's It Going to Be on this second and that time.
Now, I will say, at a glance, at a blush, the Red Hot Chili Peppers are going to beat the shit out of these
guys. If you're looking at them on the screen, you're seeing that. I get that. But I think that there's going to be, you know, a lot of hijinks happening.
Sure. A lot of atmosphere.
Think, you know, something tells me you're right. I
found something here that might play a factor in here.
Please.
I think that this is going to be relevant to Third Eye Blind's side of the fight. From Jimmy Eat World, the drummer, he tweeted, Stephen Jenkins is such a fucking creepy douchebag. And then he said, I feel so much better now. I think we're going to see some creeping around.
Good God. He's like a mind boil. Once you meet him, you have to pop it.
So their big power is cringe.
Weirdly enough, I'm seeing them as like these creeping, cringing, in the shadows, moody motherfuckers, you know?
Can you make the Red Hot Chili Peppers cringe? Their dicks
That's
are in
tough.
Socks.
They put their dicks in those socks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whose socks were those, you know?
But maybe they get so creeped out, their dicks become soft, and then the socks fall off, and now their tiny shrimp peepees are showing, and now they're humiliated. So there's a lot of stuff.
And now... And now they've cringed themselves in Chili Peppers.
That is me assuming that they're fully hard at all. Right.
And yeah, that's how they kept those socks.
You're doing
on
a lot of work there.
That is a really good point.
I just think, like, Kiedis and Flea are both, like, they're, yeah. I mean, they're wiry, fucking scrappy drug addicts. I mean,
Flea's
that's
not tough. He's, like, wiry. He's, like, a vegan and stuff, right? He's, like, a pretty thin guy.
Yeah.
And
but he's also, like authentically kind of crazy. Like, you could see, like, Flea will eat a tropical fish out of your fish tank, you know?
Yeah.
if it gets the job done. If he wasn't vegan. Yeah, right. This is 92.
If there's
I don't know.
A tofu one floating around there. I might have made up that he's vegan. I don't know why I thought that, but in my head,
I would buy
vegan.
That.
Maybe
it
feels
right.
Yeah.
I follow him on Instagram and it's always weird. And like the chili peppers in general are like, they're high energy. They're leaping around in their underpants. Mm-hmm. You know, he's swinging that bass around. That's a weapon. Did he do the thing where he swung it around? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. I don't know for a fact if he did that or not. I don't have it on record, but I'm going to say
some
yes.
Dudes do that shit and it rules. And I feel like, yeah,
he
you catch
like
somebody.
A guy who'd do it.
You catch somebody. He definitely seems like a guy who would hit you with a spicy bass guitar because,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's encrusted in chili peppers. You catch that upside the head, like something's going in your eye, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, we've talked about this before on the podcast. Kiedis is there's a certain level of like if you were an addict, you have a comfortability yes. with danger, and that bodes well for Kiedis in this fight.
Yes,
that's true. He's a guy who used to the dude who would jump off of roofs into pools mm-hmm. and shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he smoked weed. There's a picture of him in his book Scar Tissue, which if you guys haven't read, I highly recommend because it's insane.
I heard it's really good.
There's a picture of him smoking weed with his dad when he's like 9 years old, and you're like,
holy
shit,
no. I had to be in a funk band to buy more weed. It was the only fucking option.
The only way out of the streets was to join a funk band. And he wasn't even like a singer at first. He was just a guy who would jump around on stage with the band and then became the leading man.
Which I also think that's incredible. Yeah. That's like fucking
that's what it says in the book, at least. He would just like he was kind of like just a mosh guy. Like he would just be high energy on stage.
Weird.
And then the way he writes lyrics is goofy as hell. Like he's a crazy man, but I love
this. This is all making me like them more, which is maybe hurting their case.
I love them.
That's the thing. That's the thing is the more I'm like people are wrong to hate the Red Hot Chili Peppers, whereas people are right to hate Matchbox 20. The more or Third Eye Blind.
Yeah.
The Third Eye Blind. The that's like when I imagine them, they are a force for evil. Come on, baby, suck my kick. And then he's gonna do a kick, you know? And the other guys are like here to play. Like, oh, we have knives. we're here to like kill people with dark magics and like, oh boy, step back from that ledge. And it pushes him, puts him into thinking. He was like,
okay, I'm ready to vote. I've got some logic on this.
Okay,
hit me.
All right. Third Eye Blind, they have songs about doing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I personally believe Stephen Jenkins has never done drugs. And that part of his power is this atmosphere. If you're also like a white kid from Iowa and you're like, ah, fucking, he's so moody. You know who that absolutely has no effect on? Fucking Anthony Kiedis. That's a genuine
you are not wrong.
Addict who lived a hardcore lifestyle and nearly died. It's like that atmosphere shit is not working on him. He's just gonna be like scoop bop dip dip and like
and
he does not give a fuck. And he'd kick through Stephen Jenkins' head.
Fucking moodiness that they can instill in a certain type of in their fans, you know, in just me driving down the highway, you know, if I hear the right song, I'll get way into it and I'll get sucked down into those dark depths of those rainy music videos, you know, those rooftops, those fucking, you know, maybe I'm on a ledge. You know, I think they can inspire this kind of dismal thing in other people, but I don't think that's going to win them a fight today. And I think at the end of the day, we all kind of agree where this is going to go. Unless Tom,
I think that there's a twist here,
I would love to hear your twist.
Here's what I'll do. I'm going to go partially, maybe the other way. And then you can veto it. And, Chili Peppers win. Cause this is what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. I think right off the bat, we're seeing Third Eye Blind get their shit kicked in. I think Kiedis is like, you know what? I'm going to do drugs again. I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm
sure. Back. Just for the fight.
I'm back. If it's life or death right now, if there's a possibility I'm going to die, I'm going out on heroin.
Yeah. And they got some shit on Fight Island. Mm-hmm. Woo.
But I think the strategy that Third Eye Blind implements is they have the ability to give life back by talking you off a ledge but they also have the ability to go, actually, maybe you should jump off that ledge, my friend. And while all fucked up on drugs, Kiedis is going, maybe that's a good idea. I got it. You know, I used to be able to jump off ledges into a pool, and then that landed me in the best career of my life. And now he doesn't realize there's no pool underneath them. The pool is the ground, bitch. And
holy shit.
I think that one by one, they're just jumping off a ledge, and he's going, I wish you would jump off that ledge, my friend.
Yeah, they released the secret sequel to Jumper.
Mm hmm.
You know,
called Do It,
called Stayer, where he's like, I wish you wouldn't stay up on this ledge, my friend. You jump off it, you'll feel better. Remember 1998.
That makes sense because it's more despicable, and Third Eye Blind's the more despicable band.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It does, doesn't it?
Damn,
they're a force for evil. Third Eye Blind, I think, takes it. Ding, ding, ding. I'm locking in my vote for Third Eye Blind as. Blind as well, ding ding ding. And I think after the fight, Matchbox 20 like comes into the
Third Eye Blind.
Yes, and no. I think it's. I think you see where you're going here. You're saying now Matchbox 20 jumps in.
Yeah, now Matchbox 20 shows up, and they're like, "Hey, Jordan told us to be here for the fight," and I have to be like, "No, sorry. I think you're Third Eye Blind. I'm sorry."
And then they say, well, it is 3 a.m., so I must be lonely. And
hang out for a while. Yeah. Are you going to eat the remains of the Red Hot Chili Peppers? I guess
we are.
We are. Don't touch that. That's for guests.
Rob Thomas is a vampire, and that's part of this, but we didn't really get to see it.
That's for performers, Rob. Okay, ding, ding, ding.
It happened.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Third Eye Blind takes it. All right, the one that everybody's been waiting for all year long,
the heavy hate round.
The heavy hate round. Ooh. Sam's been working on that pun since January 1st of this year.
It's not very good, and I thought of it right now.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. Heavy hate round. Bands you hate, who are they? Who are the heavyweight contenders?
Oof. I feel like it's all from that era we talked about. Yeah. I think Limp Bizkit comes to mind.
Limp Bizkit, Creed, Nickelback.
Yeah. I mean, are we looking for the most easily hated? We were talking about like the hacky ones.
Yeah.
And if we're talking
the hacky hateable,
the hackiest
bands.
Of the hackies, I think, are like Dave Matthews Band, Nickelback, Creed. Who else is up there?
Do people hate Sugar Ray?
I don't think they're the same level as the
others. They're not big enough.
They weren't big enough.
You're right.
They would have maybe fit with the lightweights, but even then.
What about Smash Mouth?
Smash Mouth could be up there. They've just been quiet.
Smash Mouth's a sneaky one.
Yeah.
Smash Mouth got that one song in that everybody loves.
Yeah.
Swamp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got also, they were sneaky. They had like, sneakily, they had like five radio hits. And yeah, I think people just forget, but it's like, oh yeah, Walking on the Sun was a big one.
Oh, Walking on the Sun.
That song's good. Smash Mouth also likable on Twitter in the modern age. Yes, they're fun. They like interact with people, and it's like none of those other things are. Scott Stapp's not being fun.
No, Scott Stapp sucks. Yeah.
Scott Stapp.
I think Creed's got to be it because they have a lot of angles of hate. That's like they're not the Nickelback go to, but they are like equally bad, equally annoying. Weirdly Christian.
And
Scott Stapp sucks.
He sucks. Have you heard the story about Kid Rock and Scott Stapp?
Kid Rock is a good heavyweight.
That's true. Kid Rock got really mad at Scott Stapp because they got busted in like a sex tape scandal because they both got blowjobs on film, and Scott Stapp kept the tape, and that's how they got busted.
What?
And he was like, I'm not even mad that I got caught on tape getting blown. I'm mad that Scott Stapp was there. He's like, I got caught
on him. That makes Kid Rock too cool to be in this fight.
Remember when Kid Rock was pulled that weird stunt where he's like, maybe I'll run for governor or something.
Yeah,
that was so funny.
Yeah, he's our Ted Nugent. It's fun.
It was a weird week and a half of making Kid Rock looks like jokes, which was great because he has turned into this kind of weird Ebenezer fucking trailer park.
Yeah, it's funny. Vibe. His whole thing to begin with was like, fuck authority, I'm a badass, and now he's like so pro cop and like he's such
a wear a mask.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, it's very dumb. I think Creed has gotta be. If there's a pantheon of bands that fucking you hate that suck, Creed is there.
They're more hateable than Nickelback because Nickelback became such a punchline. It was like, I think we're overdoing this.
Yes. And listen,
Creed is more hateable.
Mm-hmm. In my private moments, if I'm driving down the road and never met it as a man.
Dude.
It's how you remind me. If I hear that shit come on, it'll get a few. It's getting a lot more playtime than fucking any Creed. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, sure. And you know what? I got to tell you, we just talked about them on our Patreon, Nickelback. And I got to tell you, I forgot that I liked the song because it's just one of those titles that pops out that I was like, oh, I hate that. And I don't. Mm-hmm. The song Rockstar is actually funny. It's like a bit like they're making fun of this thing. And it's like there's some good lines in there and it's very goofy. And I just like it.
See, and that makes me think that they are the perfect counterpart to fight Creed. Yeah. I think this has to be a Creed v. Nickelback.
Yeah. I like it. I like that.
Fight. That's the heavyweight, right?
Mm-hmm. They're getting more shade, but they're a little more redeemable in reality. Creed getting less shade, but actually way scummier.
As we've seen, being the scummier band is oftentimes a boon here on Fight Island. So. Mm-hmm. We'll figure it out. The question before us, who would win in a fight between Creed and Nickelback? Mm-hmm. Wow, this is tough because I don't, with the Chili Peppers one, there was a gut reaction. I was like, Chili Peppers are going to stomp these fucking haircuts.
Yeah.
And that is not present here. This feels like, oh yeah, these guys are going to have a weird triumphant fight in the rain and tight shirts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's going to be Affliction shirts. All over the place.
And there's stitching on jeans in this.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And the chains on their jeans are going to cancel out, I think. They're both going to try it, and I think they're going to get tangled up, and that's going to be
Good point. That's a good point.
Their leather bracelets are going to accidentally get intertwined, and it's a real, like, it becomes like an old timey where they tie two guys' wrists together so they'd have to fight it to the death.
Truly.
It's like, ah, damn it, our leather bracelets from the bucklers are fused together.
From the buckler. I'm going to look up Creed facts.
Yeah, it's they went through
Creed
a tough
facts
time.
For kids.
And Scott Stapp has tried to get into fights before. There's a story of I can't remember what band it is that he tried to fight. It's worth looking up here. I'm going to look up Scott Stapp bar fight.
This is from Creed Feed, feeding your need for Creed. This appears
a joke
to be,
website, right?
No, this is a real website made by a fan of the band Creed, apparently. So thank you. Shout out to your hard work. It looks good. Cool facts. Number one, Creed was originally called Naked Toddler.
Mm,
Oh my God, that sucks.
That sucks so much.
This name came from a newspaper article Mark Tremonti kept in his wallet. Is Mark Tremonti a member of Creed?
Let's assume. Must be, right?
That's good.
It's also like, you just stole the Nirvana album cover. You're like, let's just name our thing that. That was cool, right?
Yes, true. Okay, we're on the right track. This is a guy from Creed. Just wanted to make sure we weren't on like some weird Angel Fire site for like a YA novelization that doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. Number two, former bass player Brian Marshall came up with the name Creed for the band. He got the name from an old band that was in, called Maddox Creed. So again, just taking someone else's.
Yep. Just aping it from another thing. Good
Number
Lord.
Three, Creed originally recorded their first CD, My Own Prison, for $6,000. And released it independently under the label Blue Collar Records. Mm-hmm. Only 2,000 copies were ever printed.
Wow.
Number four, the man kneeling on the cover of My Own Prison is Justin Brown, a friend of the band.
Dude, their album covers are horrific. They're so horrific. Bad.
They look Human like they're clay. Like designed on a PC and like... Oh, they look like shit.
They look like a PC. Bad. They look like somebody tried to use Microsoft Paint and they weren't even good at it. And like, because there's only so much you could even do with Microsoft Paint anyway. Yeah. But this person was bad at it.
They look like thrown away first draft concept art of the first God of War game. Yeah.
That's it.
You know what I mean? It's like that same color palette.
No, that's it exactly. Yeah. Scott Stapp and Mark Tremonti write all the music, all the lyrics for the band's music. Number six, when Creed performed their song One on Late Show with David Letterman, they began playing too early before Letterman finished introducing the band.
Stupid.
Shout out Daniel Tremonti, brother of Mark Tremonti, creates all of the artwork featured on Creed's albums.
Oh, God. Yeah, he should be, murdered. Ooh. I don't know.
I think killed. Yeah, I think
he's
killed
made
is
the
right
world
response.
A worse place. It's so bad.
Scott Stapp's sister Amy contributes vocals to the song "Don't Stop Dancing." Those are some cool facts.
Oh shit! That hit we all love.
Those Creed feeds.
I've got it. So with Nickelback, I think we've got one big disadvantage out of the gate. They're Canadian. They're nice.
Ooh, yep. That's tough. -2.
They are nice.
Strength. Actually, -1 strength plus +1 constitution, weirdly.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
So I found this story about Scott Stapp where he got into a fight with 311 in a bar at Baltimore's Harbor Court Hotel on Thanksgiving night.
Damn, fuck, dude. Guys, not tonight. Come on, you're ruining Thanksgiving.
He was there to promote his solo album. He was in L.A. to promote his solo album. Oh, no, Baltimore. I'm sorry. Great Divide, and S.A. Martinez suffered a fractured knuckle as a result of the brawl, which Stapp started, apparently. He came into this bar being very loud and obnoxious. In fact, one of the first things he said was that he loved to fight.
Well, checking the Creed column.
Yep. Then he said he started doing shots and breaking the glass on the bar, almost hitting one of our Creed guys. My wife and I moved to a table, and eventually Scott made his way over and sat down. He was looking for attention. Even before that, he had wadded up a napkin that he lobbed in our direction. It was pathetic. We tried to ignore him, but it was impossible. Then he made a pretty disrespectful comment to my wife, which I'd rather not repeat. But in no uncertain terms, the word fuck was used. And then Chad Sexton walked over and
punched him in the mouth.
And then, he said, I had run into Scott that day, said Sexton. We have some things in common, like the same producer, and we chatted for a few minutes. So knowing we got along earlier, I kindly asked him not to disrespect anybody. And he reminded him that we are all friends. That's when he sucker punched me and hit me right in the face. So I think that we know... I don't know. I mean, it sounds like he's not.
Scott loves to fight.
He sucker punches people and he gets all fucked up. It's
damn. Was he like, yeah, I mean, I guess he must have showed up wasted and fucking wanted to go wanted to go higher.
He just wanted, I think he was jealous of 311 for some reason.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's so hateable.
In April of 2001, while a member of Creed, he was also involved in a brawl in St. Augustine, Florida, wow, where he also threw a sucker punch at somebody. So
whoa,
he's a sucker puncher. So we got to keep that in mind.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And you know he's going to be bringing this in to this fight. This is his move. Look over there. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, is the guy from Nickelback gonna fall for it? I know nothing about him.
Here's the thing, we're talking about it. Nickelback, a little self-aware.
Yeah.
That's gonna be an advantage here. He's trying to, Scott Stapp is like, here's what works on all dumb guys in 311. Look over there. Then tries to punch him.
Here's 15 things. Chad Kroeger's
like, I've been beaten down. I'm fine. I understand what's happening.
Interesting. Here's 11 things you didn't know about 15 things you didn't know about Nickelback. Number one, hotel receptionists want to kill them, probably.
I read this the other day, and this list is fucking absurd. I'm excited for you to read it because it sucks.
Ryan Peake and Chad Kroeger broke the monotony of the road by checking into hotels as Dr. Noah Body and Harry Houdini.
That sucks.
But that's like a normal thing that like big musicians sucks. Do where it's like, I mean, those names suck, yeah, but it's like they use fake names and they're like, the hotel clerks probably want to kill them. And it's like, well, they probably mainly, are used to it.
Yeah. Mainly the article is like, okay, did a hotel clerk tell you he was pissed off about that? Cause that sounds fine.
Yeah.
This article sucks. I just read it. It's so funny that you found
number
this.
Two, Chad is a better guitarist than you. Number three, sure, they're not really from Vancouver. Damn. Number four, fuck, they learned from the masters. The masters being Metallica's Master of Puppets and Ride the Lightning tablature books. Fuck. Number five, Chad is lucky not to be in jail. Chad's delinquent lyrics are a fair reflection on his juvenile rap sheet, whose highlights include truancy, trespassing, and the theft of a small truck. It's so funny that they put small truck in there. Just say truck. Mm-hmm. Was it like literally a little bitty?
I think it's a tiny toy truck.
Number six, they splashed the cash. Okay, mm-hmm. We might be done with this list.
It got worse as you went on. Yeah. Oh, it's a bad list.
Wait a minute. Number seven, Chad is 6 years from death.
Oh, this one's...
According to his calculations.
Yeah, according to his calculations, and it's some like dumb bullshit, he says, if I remember right.
Yeah. He says, I will die on my 40th birthday, he told Playboy. I dreamed it. I'll be on stage and have a heart attack, and the crowd will think it's part of the show. It's been foretold. Did you fucking say that to someone in a room?
And guess how old Chad Kroeger is right now?
Tell me.
He is 46 years old. So.
Chad. So close. Fuck.
All right.
Yeah.
We should get to the votes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number 10 is they murder axes, just for the record.
That sucks. Yeah, I hate it. That makes a stupid article. All right.
Who wins, Sam? What's your vote?
I think Creed has worked themselves into this weird position, mm-hmm, where Christian people love Creed, mm-hmm, and they're doing this in the biggest, shittiest arena ever, sold out to Creed and Nickelback fans.
Fucking. It's
and
so
there's
going
to be this, mm-hmm, expectation on Scott Stapp to not throw a punch in public. Mm-hmm. And it's going to make him hesitate.
Oh, boy. He turns the other
Kroeger cheek. Kroeger brains him with a shitty looking guitar.
Yeah. I mean, he murders axes and he murders people with axes. Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
It's that Scott Stapp's stupid dual weird life.
Interesting.
Doesn't let him commit to this specific
now
fight.
Interesting. Okay.
My vote's Nickelback.
That's a really interesting point.
But I don't know. I think that we got to keep in mind, while he might, he's sneaky. He's like, through sucker punches. So I think that he's doing a thing where he's like, oh, I want to turn around to play guitar. I don't even know if he plays guitar,
yeah.
But he, he's, sure. He, while he does it, he's like, hey, oh, wait, what is that over there? Bah! And he,
yeah.
And he goes, hey, I'm coming at you with arms wide open. And then as soon
sure.
as
yeah.
he embraces you, you realize, uh-oh, you're in a fucking stab. You're in a stab suplex, and he
and he ascends to heaven with you. Yep. When I first
yep. yep. And the only thing Nickelback has is he Kroger goes, hey, look at this photograph. And the photograph does make Scott Stapp laugh, just as it does Nickelback. Every time you look at it,
every time
you
look at it,
and that's when he can get a couple punches in. But I do think that Christianity prevails, and that Scott Stapp takes
Scott Stapp takes it.
Yeah, I think he starts praying right when he's like on his death, like about to die. I think he starts praying, and then God just kills Nickelback.
He commands his God to kill Nickelback. I think, yeah, boy, I can see him pulling off. I mean, I'm imagining, you know, Scott Stapp getting punched in the face, bloody nose. That only makes the crowd love it more. That he grows luminous wings from fucking the energy that the crowd is pulling back at him. He's pulling off fucking like clerical moves, you know, Nickelback, you know, they're there and they're like, they get it. And I think that they kind of get it a little bit. So they're trying to have like an actual fight.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott is just whipping the crowd into this frenzy. And I think that if this was anywhere else but the stadium at Fight Island, Scott Stapp would win. But I think ultimately Nickelback wins because Scott Stapp is a different person on stage than he is in a bar. This was a bar, and if this was a scuzzy bar somewhere on the outskirts of New Fight City or whatever, and he just walked in, Scott Stapp is going to be this is the real Stapp. This is the dark Stapp that he covers up. If he's on stage and they had to put like extra risers on the stadium here, this is a stadium show, you know? He's milking it. I would never hit you, you know. I turn the other cheek. He's taking punches. He's like fucking trying to let this energy of the crowd really drive him. But at the end of the day, I think Nickelback, like you say, they're just like, shut up. And they hit him with guitars like we've all wanted to do in the past.
Yeah.
Because when it comes down to it, like you can fucking, you know, you can do this all day long. But if you're a bad guy, somebody's going to punch you in the face. And I think all Nickelback right. takes like it. Ding, ding, ding.
I like it.
Wow. Tom, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks so much for having me. This has been so fun, guys. Damn.
To a truly legendary episode of Fight Island. You're coming here all the way from, of course, our sister podcast, Stand By Your Band,
The
Authentic Podcast Network. Where else can people find you? On the internet,
you know, I'm on Twitter. It's at Tom A. Takkar, T-H-A-K-K-A-R, and Instagram at Tom Takkar.
Hell yeah!
And you know, I like have a YouTube and all that shit, but I don't really use it much. And but I'm doing some. You can see me in real life if I don't know when this is coming out, but I'll be at the DC Improv May 20th through the 22nd, and I'm adding some dates here and there as things start to get normal, and I'm fully vaxxed up, so.
Yeah, me too. I'm waiting. I'm going through the mutation process right now. I have like a few days before I'm supposed to be allowed to go outside. But definitely check out Tom's stuff. A couple of legendary stand-up clips out there too. Always fun to laugh at. Of course. Sam, how about you?
As always, just follow me at VoteSamWiles on Twitter. And if you want to get some bonus content, we have a Patreon.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm Razor Lou everywhere. They let me do that. Twitter, Instagram. I'm on the Twitch a lot these days. I've been playing Mortal Kombat. I'm trying to talk Sam into coming and doing a Fight Island stream. Mortal Kombat is in a real renaissance right now.
Oh,
you gotta see.
I watched the movie.
Get in there.
I watched the movie. It's so fun and so bad.
The past three games have been more batshit insane than, or at least as any of the movies, and they're fucking perfect because it's a video game, so they get to do whatever they want. And it's, I'm playing the story modes, and it's really good. So go check that out. But yeah, I think that about does it for this particular episode of Fight Island. Why don't you count us down there, Sam?
1, 2, 3.
All right, break it up. It's all over for Fight Island.